going to the hurry-up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the Dave Dameschek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all-day breakfast, and it is time, as you just heard there, for the Andy Reid-style hurry-up. We're going to take our time as we go through this hurry-up, and then we will jump in to a great show for you, joined in Studio 66, first of all, by a returning fantasy guru. He's been off doing who knows what. Well, actually, I know because I follow him on Twitter. He's been traveling football America looking for clues to help provide you with the best fantasy insight you can possibly get. He is the creator of Reception Perception. It's Matt Harmon. What's the poop, fella?
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. As much as I reject the term guru, but I do appreciate you following all of my adventures on Twitter. It's kind of hard not to, as I do force my entire life down everybody's throat, essentially, that follows me on social media, because I like you, I am needy. I need people to see these things.
I know, but what you didn't need was 100 pounds, and you've shed it, and that's gotten a little bit of publicity.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. I did not expect I knew I was going to write the piece about myself. Again, there's that neediness, but I did not expect CNN to pick the story up.
I'm thinking about getting a lap belt. It's about time to get rid of my weight, too. I need to lose about 70, 80 pounds. I might do something like that. Next up, you see him on the update desk. He's really turned that into his own thing to the degree that it feels like a show through the summertime on NFL Network. He also joins us here whenever the news allows him to sneak in here. I'm sure he'll depart for breaking news at some point here. It's Patrick Claibon. What's the poop with you, fella?
I am soaking in this Dave Dameschek quote that came before the show, which is going to be my spirit animal for the remainder of my existence. I'm not narcissistic. I'm vain, and my vanity requires your attention.
Oh,
That is so good.
That's a good quote.
Here's another one of my quotes. Another thing that I always like to say: winning isn't everything; it's the only thing.
Oh, that's a good one.
I've never heard of that.
It's funny, Patrick. You should bring that up, because the other day I stumbled onto Facebook, as you sometimes do, and there's a feed down the right hand side telling you what your friends are doing, and there was a quote, it just said at the top, Dave Dameschek likes Dave Dameschek.
Nice.
I think that was one of the most appropriate things I've ever seen.
I had to do it. I had to like it. Told me you have to like your own public page or something.
It's true.
So I did it.
They made us get public pages, too, for fans.
I liked it.
Little did you know, I'd be there waiting to pounce.
And, of course, you hear his voice, much to my chagrin and yours. You'll not hear it again after this episode of the DDFP for a fortnight at least. It is, of course, our resident Miami Dolphins fan, Handsome Hank.
He's handsome. Yes, he's leaving for merry old England. He's going to do his annual visit. This is one of the more sorrowful stretches that confronts us each year here on the DDFP. Handsome returns to his homeland. Rams chase him around and butt him in his butt, and so on and so forth. Handsome, how are you?
I am very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's my Christmas Eve.
Oh, well, listen, let's get into the hurry up. And as a matter of fact, I forgot to do – we're so off the rails with the Andy Reid hurry up that we don't even actually get into the subject.
We've called three timeouts.
That's right. Well, let's start with this one. Let's remedy that here and now. Arian Foster, I mentioned, is now a member of your favorite pro football team, Handsome Hank. How say you, in terms of scale of 1 to 10, what color excitement do you have for this?
I am, I would say, a yellow 4.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yellow 4.
Not optimistic.
There's not a whole lot to go off. I think he'll play about 4 games, depart potentially injured. And I am still excited about Jay Ajayi, our friend that we met last week.
Yeah, look that up.
A delightful guest.
Where can people find that Bartlett behind the glass? Is it on on YouTube, or is it on NFL.com?
NFL.com.
NFL.com/podcast.
iTunes, Stitcher. Android podcasts.
We had about half an hour with Ajayi, and
we had a great time with him.
He really was a nice, nice fella. He really was, and also I was delighted. We had a Who's More American quiz off between Ajayi, the Englishman, and Handsome, the Englishman. Spoiler alert: Handsome Hank thinks the first president of the United States is Abraham Lincoln.
Well, it could have been.
Oof.
It could have been.
Go well.
It's a good place to start.
It was embarrassing.
Harmon, 1 to 10. Give me a color. How excited are you?
Blue 5.
Blue 5 on Arian Foster. Not big fantasy numbers for him?
I think the thing about Foster last year was it was really the first time we saw him decline as a runner. And that was obviously he was coming off of a groin injury, but he averaged 2.6 yards per carry last year in the four games he played. That was by far the worst of any of the Texans backs that were in there. But where I think he's going to make a big impact when he plays is in the passing game. He averaged over 10 yards per reception last year. He's still a playmaker in space, and that was the area that it seemed like they were most concerned about with Jay Ajayi. So I think early on, however long he does play, he's going to be the primary pass-catching back. But, I mean, I'm still not completely out on Jay Ajayi because I really liked him coming out of Boise State, and also he has value as the guy that will usurp all the touches in the event that Foster does.
Well, question marks in terms of health with both of those guys.
Right.
I guess the Dolphins are rolling the dice that one of these two is going to work out for
and,
us.
And they drafted Kenyon Drake out of Alabama, one of Patrick's favorite players, I'm guessing.
Followed Kenyon for a while.
And
last seen scoring a dynamic touchdown in the national title game, right?
Yeah, he's a good football player. He's a guy where I've seen injury concerns. We talk about it. They're playing running back.
Yeah.
Injuries happen. People criticize Kenyon. He broke a leg and he broke an arm. It's not – unless you have Wolverine playing, those things are going
to
happen.
I'd like to have that one.
Yeah.
Wolverine.
Have him
power.
Playing tailback. I'm red one with Arian Foster in Miami because he has a chance to further my agenda in saying that if somebody's good at football, there's more evidence to believe that they can continue to be good at football. And I think people
wouldn't that make you more of a purple nine?
Well, I was going with red.
I don't think
red being one.
Does anybody know how this
there's no
works?
There is no scoring. There's nothing official here.
The way my
numbers don't mean
crazy
anything.
Brain works.
Colors don't mean anything.
I went letters red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, and then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Wake up, Claybon. You just don't get it, man. Harmon, we'll start with you on this fantasy issue. Here in 2016, is it okay to admit as a grown-up that you care more about your fantasy team's results than you do about your alleged favorite pro football team's results?
Well, I never like to get into the business of telling another human being what they should and should not be a bigger fan.
That
of,
is where you or... and I part ways, friend.
Yes, indeed. I'm willing to let another individual decide where they should let their passions and loyalty
We're
lie.
We're a society of laws.
Well, sure, but does that law have to include fantasy and football and things that
I'll
are
let
supposed
you know
to be
what things need to be.
All right, well, I'll defer to you on that, but okay. No, I think that I mean, I'm like kind of an emotionally cold person when it comes to fandom anyways. Not in my real life. Then emotions fly from my sleeve.
Yeah, don't take note, ladies.
Yeah, no.
Matt Harmon cares.
Smoke.
No, I don't actually. Please don't call me anyone. Ever.
Can I call you sensual?
I think that we'll discuss that when we get to what we're going to track in our live. But I think that you can be a bigger fan of your fantasy team if that's what really gets you going. You know, I mean, to be honest with you, if your fandom isn't really interesting, if you're a fan of a poor team, perhaps that's what hurts me is to see a bunch of people out there continuing to throw their love and emotions and passions behind these teams that do not return that love and emotion and passion.
Well, if you can sense, if you're able to deduce reasonably that you don't feel your management is putting the best foot forward to put a winner on the field, that's where you can part ways with them. Claybon, how say you?
As Matt said, you like whoever you want to like, but don't get mad at me if I question how much you actually care about sports. If you're like, oh, well, I just don't care anymore. I'm rooting for my fantasy team now. Well, don't criticize other people for caring. People have
it's a
feelings
to
sport.
It. I don't know. Isn't Handsome
it?
Hank, resolve
it's
this
soulless.
For us. No. I'm saying if the people who – there's something about it that – seems weird.
I don't particularly care about anything.
Seems narcissistic.
I don't care about my fantasy team or my real life team.
Oh no, I'll look into the bleak self-esteem of Matt Harmon. Handsome Hank.
No, it's not okay.
It's not okay.
No.
Thank
oh,
you.
Oh wow.
Thank you. I mean,
it's not okay, and I don't care if I don't want to tell people what to do. I'm going to tell them what to do. The answer is you should
said it
like
that.
You sorry. But you support a team. The fantasy thing is incidental. It all comes outside of real life.
Look at
it's called fantasy, but this is reality, guys. This is what you live or die on.
Not your reality. You're not a part of the team.
It is if I make it my reality.
Well,
my reality is whatever I choose. Thank you, Matthew.
Your reality in general is your own perception of it.
Right.
I mean, nothing is really real if you want to get
okay,
right
well,
down
not,
to it.
I mean, come on. We're not. This isn't the philosophy podcast. That's
I am trying to
that's
turn
what Daniel Jeremiah does, isn't it?
I'd like it. I'd like it if we could do that. We just heard a little ding there. Patrick Claibon, are you being summoned for breaking news in late July 2016?
I am not. That must be a telemarketer, but
thank
I have
goodness.
To check. After
a telemarketer.
Next up on the alleged hurry up here, favorite sound in sports. This one comes to us from a citizen of the Czech Republic, Jordan in Seattle. He drops us a line. And Claibon, I start with you. I like this. He started off with the crack of the bat and so on, but I think we can expand what counts as a sound in sports. Claibon, start us off.
The nice crunchy sound of someone dunking a basketball, preferably on somebody else.
Ooh, I was just about to say, what the hell does it sound like when somebody dunks?
It sounds like that, and then normally it's accompanied by screams.
Yeah, that was in a vacuum. Oz. Yeah, of course, it's met with the roars of 15,000.
But just that alone was enough to get me going.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Startling than anything.
Made me feel like I got dunked on there, and exactly. Now I feel shame.
Was there a sound? I've said many times before, I had a ticket to the Fitzgerald Fieldhouse the night that Jerome Lane broke the backboard at Pitt against Providence. Instead, I opted to go to the Igloo and watch the Penguins get shut out by the New York Islanders.
Was there a girl involved, Dave?
Damashek in his teens? No.
Okay.
You have to speak to a girl to then, I assume, to go on. I think that's how it works in the teen years. Yeah, no, certainly
okay.
not.
I just wanted to check.
Boy, a slam dunk. But the shattering of a backboard, does that make a sound? Because that seems like that would be pretty
You'd think
good.
It would.
By the time it's broken, it's been drowned out by people losing their minds.
Handsome Hank, how say you?
Well, obviously, it's the time of year where we're all, you know, collectively thinking about cricket a lot.
Yes.
And so what we call the sound of leather on willow. That's beautiful, isn't it? The little...
That did sound neat.
Well, they didn't exactly play the whole clip.
I don't want to sound like a bro, but the sport is called cricket, and it's leather on willow?
It's no different to pigskin on...
I guess it's
on,
like wearing on, pink. It's like I'm so secure with what I am. I don't care what you think, what image that might
Why, what does
know,
it bring?
Stereotype.
What does it bring up for you?
I don't know. Willow and cricket just certainly doesn't sound like, you know...
Willow is a
real
type
rugged
of wood.
Sport.
It's the same. It's probably the same thing they make a baseball bat out of.
That just sounds like, but it's a sport. I mean,
I
look
think,
at the outfits,
I think
the all whites and everything. It's a sport for dandies. Let's be
we've
honest.
Got to a point, we've got to a point in life where I think you know you can go beyond judging things from what the words sound like or what the colors of their clothes are. I think you know, like even America is getting that far.
Harmon, please, let's move on.
So I picked the sound of a driver connecting with a golf ball.
You know,
that's kind of
good, except for, you know what I don't like anymore about it? I don't like that in the modern age that it's got a ping sound to it now.
See, I like
it on the wood better.
See, I kind of like the ping. And I
Wait,
guess
you like wood now. So it's wood's okay for golf, but not okay for cricket.
I didn't say, that wasn't the point that I balked
no,
at.
No,
I balked
sorry,
at
fine.
The...
Wait,
it sounds like leather on wood.
Hey,
but
hey,
what about
hey,
the golf? What about what golfers are wearing? That's fine.
Stop bogarting my segment.
And I'm sorry.
They don't wear the kilts or the pinstripe the socks anymore. Or whatever.
I'm not advocating, by the way, for the Payne Stewart look either. That's silly. That's wearing a costume to play your sport. Right.
So the reason I picked the golf driver one is just, I don't know, golf, it strikes me as like a very leisurely activity. Like, who the hell has time to spend like 8 hours on a golf course anyways these days? And, I mean, I was supposed to golf with franchise Matt Franciscovich over the summer. We literally never did that, despite
I'm not sure who that is.
He's the other fantasy writer.
Oh, that other bearded fellow.
Yes, the better beard, actually, to be honest with you, which is a hard topic to talk about. But it's
his because his mustache is visible.
It's actual,
to
yeah,
eye,
right.
As opposed to your flaxen one.
Really have
you
to go.
Like a man.
Go right for
go
the
ahead.
Road, Dave. But no, I think that it's a very leisurely activity, and it just speaks something like, man, I wish I actually had time to do that more, to get away. And
I've said golf would be way better if they would just cut it down to 12 holes. By the time you get to about 10 or 11, it's like, all right, we get the point. Are we done yet? Like, it's I always get bummed out right around 13-ish.
But
right
then it's similar to basketball. Just don't tune in until the
I'm not talking about watching. I'm talking about actually playing.
Oh, playing
I get
right.
bored. It's like, all right, can we go home already? Yeah, Enough's enough already.
I'm a pretty terrible golfer, but, like, my mom is a huge golfer. She loves to go, and she would always be like, let's go hit a quick nine. I'm like, what the hell do you mean quick? It's going to be, like, half my day.
My old man likes to wake up under the cloak of night and go out to the course so that you're the first ones out there. Just as dawn breaks, you tee off, and then you can blow through the course and
nobody's
home
out.
For breakfast.
Yeah,
but then you have to obviously, and then it compromises your night before, and then the whole, you know, and then you're tired.
See,
well, what do we
life
do?
Is so
what are we doing?
This is what I'm saying.
What exercise in human endurance are we putting ourselves through?
You become very in your old age. You become a little angry about.
Here's the best sound.
I'm worried about you.
Here's the best sound in sports. Nay, maybe all of the world. College football. Make it nice and crisp outside, if you would. Maybe the smell of wieners wafting over from tailgates nearby. There's nothing better than college football marching band making the noise. On a grand Saturday, beat it. You can't.
You did interpret the question differently to the rest of us, though.
So what?
No, I mean, just as a good imagination. It shows good imagination.
I think it also provides us with the opportunity. I think we should do, I mean, you can really name that sound. Is it name that sports sound is a good game we could play, too. Because you could really get into fight songs, TV, sports theme songs. These sorts of sounds, like, you know, out of context, give us that slam dunk. Would you be able to identify that?
It kind of sounds like somebody jumping off of a plank or like a diving board.
I would. I can tell you the person in that sound clip jumped off of 2 feet as well. It's just, I can feel it. And they dunked it with their right hand.
I like landed it on their left.
Kind of
that's
braggadocious.
Hey, yeah. Behind the glass. Store up some sounds of all manner, songs, fight songs, fight songs are included in songs.
The next surprise game show could be a sound-based one.
Yes. I want my dream is to turn the DDFP into nothing but games, just nothing but game shows.
Yeah, I feel like it already is somewhat for you.
I suppose so. Hey, start the show.
Damashek football program available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Yes, once again, hi and hello, football fans, and welcome to the DDFP. And I mentioned it again, presented by McDonald's. Go get you some of that all day breakfast. We're going to take some of that all day breakfast up to Rams training camp. Actually, I guess we're going to go to the Coliseum. Handsome, as I mentioned. You are not going to be there, unfortunately. You're going back to the
UK. When are you
UK.
Doing this? That's I wasn't invited. I might have changed my vacation plans.
Is that true?
Yep.
No, we wish we could have had you along for the ride, but instead, we'll go up there. I hope we can kibitz with Jared Goff. Who knows? Les Snead, the impossibly handsome Les Snead, and so on. So you'll be missed there, but Matt Harmon's back in the fold. That's good news. Handsome, do you have any good news you'd like to share?
I'm going on vacation today.
No, there's other news. Why don't you share your big news?
I mean, I
Handsome got a big promotion here at the NFL, so mazel tov to him. Cheer for him. That's the smart move, Claybon, because now he can really – he wields more power than he did even before. He could have your head on a stick by the end of today.
I assume
by
he could do
EOB
that before.
If he wanted to.
I would there's no reason for me to do that.
No, that would be weird. And I'm really out of line.
And murder.
To
an also.
Yeah, right.
Choose violence.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that was. It scared me, though.
What was it?
Either way, but mazel tov to you on that news and to.
Thank you, Dave. That's very kind of you.
Harmon, it's good news for all of us to have him back here kibitzing about fantasy and hipping you to his insights, including reception perception. But while I'm thinking about it, Scott Baio spoke at the at the RNC. Charles, I was just stunned that this happened when I brought this up to the 20-somethings that work in our video room. Nobody knew Chachi Arcola, what that was. Nobody knew that pop culture reference. Do you at least know who Charles in Charge is? Handsome, did you get those shows in the UK?
No.
You didn't get Charles in Charge either?
I don't believe so.
I am really an old man. That bums me out. What is the summer show you're watching? I'm continuing the hurry up here.
Okay.
Before we jump in on some football talk here.
Are you asking me?
Yes.
I have been watching The Night Of on HBO.
Me too.
Two episodes in. It's
awesome.
Terrific.
Awesome.
It's very
Love
good.
It.
It's
yeah.
very good.
It's about a perverse crime, and I thought it would be more straightforward wherein you, the lead character, was somebody who you sympathized with, which maybe you do, but I still do, but I thought it would be clean cut. Like, well, obviously this is a guy wrongly accused. Instead, it's murkier than that.
It
fascinating.
Is.
Fascinating. Harmon, how say you?
I have wanted to start that. I have not yet.
Though. I would recommend it.
Yeah, I finished the second season of Bloodline about a month
that's
ago.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think I liked the first season better, but season two was fine. But right now I'm revisiting Parks and Rec. Just to keep, you know, a good, like, lighthearted 20-minute show, because this makes me sound old, and I'm definitely not at all.
No.
And I can't sit through a 40-minute show before I fall asleep anymore. Like, I will fall asleep in the second half of it. So I'm like, I just need a good 20-minute show before I go to bed, conk out.
Mm. Claybon, how say you?
Stranger Things, Winona Ryder.
I watched the first episode of that last night. Really fun.
We're hooked. We're probably going to finish it by today or tomorrow.
Where do we find it? How would you describe it? It's sort of like, well, first of all, it's stylized. It's set in the 80s, and the title card and everything else looks like a Stephen King novel.
It does, and the music, everything takes you kind of back.
It almost feels like a Spielberg picture. The first 5 minutes, you feel like that's what you're looking at.
And every once in a while, it'll remind you, like, hey, this show is weird. And you're like, I like that. I like how weird this show is.
And it's got sort of like, well, you haven't seen them exactly one episode in, but you get the sense that they're some supernatural monster or monsters or
maybe,
something.
Maybe, or a whole other world.
It's very, yeah.
Where do I find this
That's
program?
Off-putting to me usually.
On Netflix.
But it is engaging, so at least one episode in. Also,
by the way,
Handsome advised me on The Night Manager, so
that's a good
summertime
one.
Plus night equals success. Mm.
I've also been catching up on The Wire.
Spoiler
alert. Last night I was watching, I did not see this coming. Stringer Bell got shot.
Whoa.
I had no idea that was going to... I was genuinely shocked, but I was like, imagine if this was 2006 rather than 2016, and I was able to converse with someone who was also shocked by this.
Maybe we can put like a 10-second block after Hank says spoiler alert.
Yeah, right.
I was
spoiler
shocked.
Alert if you haven't
I
watched
was shocked
the show
by
in the
this.
Night.
Well, we've already established on the show that I think we said 72 hours is absolutely the end of spoilers. We're at least 8 years in now.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe more.
Minimum. The last thing is, speaking of shocked, is it before, not the last thing, but the last thing is before
the first
we jump
thing,
into
in
the
fact.
Show that's written down on this piece of paper that I'm holding here. just before we began, Matt Harmon said that he doesn't like any Christmas music.
I
Does that
corrected
upset
that
you,
statement.
Claybon, as a human being?
It makes me sad. It makes me sad
it
for
makes
my friend
me
Matt.
Sad for mm. him.
It makes me want to hug him, which
especially
because
he
that I
like,
welcome.
Did you ever see the puppet late 60s version?
I'm already offended.
Santa Claus is coming to town. Matt Harmon kind of looks like young Santa Claus in that.
That's the worst.
Doesn't he?
Dave, you have like a lightsaber out there. You're just slashed.
That's the third
what
worst
an insult
thing.
I'm
like Cricket gets ever slashed.
Who's more beloved than Santa Claus? I compared him to a young Santa. That's an
but
insult
a wooden,
now?
A wooden puppet one.
Yeah.
I could have compared him to... Hey, did you see the pictures of the before? He looked like old Santa in those. All right? Wow.
That's actually true. Can I respond to this criticism?
Sure.
Well, not the wooden Santa part. I don't care about that. But I don't dislike all Christmas music. I clarified the statement to say that I enjoy like a good classical Christmas music, you know, like whatever those ones are. That's fine.
White Christmas.
You know, Silent Night. I can get a little teary-eyed at that at the end of the Christmas service if that's what you're into. But the like modern rock and roll Christmas songs can get all the way out of here. I don't like any of that. And my roommate and NFL fantasy colleague Alex Gelhar is a big like Christmas nut.
I'm not familiar with who that is.
Another one. The other fantasy guy without any facial hair.
Yeah, no facial hair on that one.
Yeah. So he really.
So that's your defense?
He's a big Christmas nut. And
what a weird. You call me salty, handsome Hank. What person vocalizes his
music? Matt is not alone. I have definitely come across other people who.
I know, but that's just somebody looking.
Kind of as a bit, they don't like Christmas. It's a thing. Thing in a way that people, you know, it's like, oh, I know, I'll be the guy that doesn't like Christmas.
I will peel back the curtain here to my operation a little bit. Whenever I have a slightly contrarian opinion on a cultural topic, not a football topic, I take that very seriously. I never heat up my takes on that. But for life stuff, you know, like how the fact that I think peanut butter is the worst food ever created, I will turn the heat up to 11 on that.
I have half a mind to show you the door. Peanut butter is delicious.
No, it's terrible. It's awful.
Let's not argue with people who've already said that they have a contrary opinion about something on purpose. That doesn't seem like a good.
The opinion is genuine.
He's floating the bait, and Damashek can't help
just
himself.
Dived
the
in.
Opinion is genuine. The heat on the take, it might be a little doctored.
Yeah. He doesn't like peanut butter. He doesn't actually think it's the worst thing ever.
No, that one's real.
To bring it to a close, the Waitresses song, Christmas rapping, that Merry Christmas song. If anybody knows what I'm talking about.
I don't know the Waitresses.
It's one of the worst songs.
I like what Handsome and I were talking about. What started this is we walked into 66 today. Handsome and I connected on the fact that we like Paul McCartney.
Should we sing it together now for the people?
Sure.
Simply having a wonderful Christmas time.
In July.
So what? Simply having a wonderful Christmas. I like that song.
I like it a lot.
This is what's great about our country. We can go from you like igniting the saber and saying, cricket is for ninnies, to you guys singing the Christmas song together.
The leather in the willow.
Hey, I felt like we bonded again.
Well,
carry on. Let's do something from the show.
All right, let's do that. And the first question is, this is sort of, boy, we're having a hard time getting into football here. Emma VP tisking all the way. She told me that we just broke our own record in the Andy Reid hurry up. We took 17 minutes.
Terrific.
Now we're well past that. I think we're at the 26 minutes, says Emma VP.
Delay a game.
That's no. We talked about Arian Foster at the very top.
Right.
I mentioned Andy Reid. That was the first thing out of my
mouth. We got one first down.
So Ryan Bartlett behind the glass says that they have that they're now going in the preseason, which, boy, oh, boy, what is it, 2 weeks away until they play the first game?
Yep.
They're going to be throughout the preseason. By the way, for a father, too, Handsome. Have you considered the fact, because Jean-Claude Van Damashek just mentioned, ooh, I want to go to a football game with you.
Let's go together.
We could go to a preseason
game. Yeah, let's go together, too.
And these six-year-olds that we have are suckers. They don't know if they're seeing preseason.
No, they don't care.
Well, this is the best thing. This is the Super Bowl, boy. Yeah. Tell everybody I took you to the Super Bowl.
Play that.
You're the best.
Here's the problem. I actually did take my son to the Super Bowl for his first football game last year, which
that
probably
stinks.
Probably
shows me up.
Set the bar a little high. It's like that's going to be Super Bowl 50. Where do you go from here?
Yeah, well,
let's carry on with the
show. Yeah, we do need to go. Yeah, let's take our little ones to a ball game. But all right. So there's going to be a chip embedded in the football, Bartlett.
Yeah, it's a chip that's going to be a part of the next-gen stats. So
so it'll track how fast the ball is moving kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. Speed, length, distance.
Will it check whether the ball is properly inflated?
I guess it's interesting.
Come on.
We just
got rid of that storyline.
What's that?
I said something, but you weren't concentrating because you aren't a narcissist about me. You're a narcissist about yourself.
I am not a narcissist. I'm vain. I thought we already established that.
I made a joke about PSI, and you ignored it. It's fine. Claybon, it probably was worth ignoring.
Claybon, go ahead and read his quote again.
I'm not narcissistic. I'm vain, and my vanity requires your attention.
And I
want that on a wooden plaque.
It's like just
my home Kanye track.
You will not receive what I request from you.
That's
my
beautiful.
Undivided attention. What would you like to have tracked in your life? So that, by the way, the next gen stuff. And the whole sports science thing doesn't intrigue me because it lacks context almost always. You always have to measure, and I hope Next Gen will do that. That like in what would be cool to me is at some point in preseason, if you could do a thing where like they would just take Aaron Rodgers on the side for 2 minutes and do this across football America with all the QBs and say, all right, just from a standing position, how far can you throw it? Now roll out to your right, see how far you can throw it. So that then we have context when he does it in battle, that then it's like, wow, he's doing that within, you know, with a guy bearing down, and then it would mean something to me. As it is, like I say, it just sits in a vacuum, and I don't know how to relate to it. Anyway, Handsome, what would you like to have tracked?
Dave, if I could, I would put chips in dips, and I would see what the most dipped, chipped dip was.
Well,
around the country.
Eat it and then you
No, around the country. But I would put it in all the dips.
Uh-huh.
And then we could see like how many dips per, how many chips are dipped per dip, how which dips are performing best at any one time.
It's a great use of the chips, and because chips are a different kind of like chip to dip. But I usually just apply like what bowl has the least amount of stuff left in it. Isn't that a good gauge?
That would be a good gauge as well. But you know, you never
know.
Maybe
this is high
end that we may find something else we don't know.
Interesting, Harmon.
If I could, before I answer the question, just a small defense of the next gen set, since I'm going to be writing the column for it this year.
I'm not attacking
side, but I just want to.
You'll know when Dave attacks something that you're attached to. Don't worry.
Believe me.
You'll be able to feel that.
I feel like I know the feeling. But anyways, my point just being that I think you're right about context, and that's why I think the best football analysts not only take numbers, they also take what happens on the game film. But, you know, you can't do vice versa. You can't just take game film and without any numbers. I think it needs to be a marriage of both. But anyways, that's just a quick aside. I'll answer the question now. I thought a lot about this because I like to track a lot of things. Obviously, I chart a lot of things when it comes to football, but also in real life. I keep a log of a lot of different things. But I think what I would like is I would like my dog's emotions tracked, because that is the hardest thing as a dog owner to decipher. My dog got sick a couple weeks ago, and the whole time I'm thinking like, man, why can't you just tell me what's wrong with you, or how did we get this way? And I would like to know more things about him. I want to know how he's feeling. He's a very emotionally complicated dog, so that's what I would like tracked in my life.
I mentioned earlier that I follow you on Twitter. It's getting to be a little bit much with the dog already. It's not a child.
I couldn't care less.
It's a pet.
Yes.
You understand?
I know.
Speaking of context, out of context, I think about this all the time too. Every once in a while, I'm just sitting in a room, you know, and I've had pets too, and I thought this to myself when that pet would walk by. But in other people's homes, sometimes it occurs to me like, it's weird that there's just a beast walking free in your home. You brought a beast into your home. Being there.
My dog is anything but a beast.
But what's he doing there? Was that? And by the way, here's the other thing with pets, too. This is morbid, and Handsome has...
I've heard this so many times. It's
I know. Handsome gets upset when I make this
point.
You've
got two pet owners here.
Do you understand that when you bring a... There's death in the world, you know? You're going to have to deal with death.
What?
This is part of the human condition, is experiencing the death of loved ones around you, and it's horrifying, and it's unavoidable unless you're the one who dies. And
which
probably comes with its own, issues.
Everybody does.
Why bring in a creature into your life that you're going to care for that you, at the outset, are hoping, by definition, dies before you do?
Let's quick swerve. Well, oh my God, that is the worst. That's literally the worst opinion
of all
you
of all Dave's of all Dave's repeated opinions. This one is A, the strangest, and B, the
worst. I don't understand people's
spot on though.
It's not spot on, Dave, because everyone in life, in relationships generally, you should be hoping to get as much out of the moments you get to spend with people,
as opposed
rather than dreading the moment they die.
You don't bring humans into your life under the assumption, well, I'm going to part ways with them. That's
but everybody, but you do part ways.
So, Dave, would you say any relationship that doesn't result in marriage is pointless?
Yes,
is
basically
that
what he's saying.
Actually,
I won't say what I was about to.
I know where Handsome was going.
And, I was lining something up there.
My brain went to the same place. Claybon, how say you? What would you like tracked?
Okay, at the risk of being like super sappy, I'd like chips that could tell me the impact that I had on other people. And I'd like to have stats that tell me if I positively impacted somebody's life. Now, that would result in everybody getting a microchip, which would be like end time stuff for some people. So if we're going sports, I'd like maybe my lifetime pickup basketball stats. That'd be cool to just pull up my phone and see that, oh, my God, I shoot 30% from three. Maybe I should stop doing that.
Yeah, I mean, that's basically you want to attend your own funeral, in other words.
I don't know why you've gone back to death again. That seems strange.
Kind of
Dave
that thing. I'd like to
fixated
know
on death right now. Right.
Can I?
At
say,
his age, it's understandable.
You understand? You might not. It's sort of like Fantasy Island, like Ricardo Montalban would say. Like you might. He would always warn. It's always was weird on Fantasy Island. One of the three stories, people would want to do the worst possible. They're like, well, you have one wish that's going to get fulfilled, and it has something to do with some macabre episode from your past that you wish to revisit. Well, that's a weird desire. Either way, he would say, like, hey, Tattoo, he would like to go back and revisit what happened, but he may not like what he finds. Like that. You may not like what you hear.
It's
what
true
about that, Claybon?
What
you're going to deal with people like you're going to hear some opinion. What do you think MVP says?
But then you could tweak. You could tweak your interactions
in
the future in order to be able to.
for negative stuff. I want to know, like, did I do well? Yes, right. No, with this person.
Oh.
And if I didn't, well,
then
whatever.
You can. But then maybe
well, but
you'd
then
be
the
like,
lack of feedback would then indicate that. It
but
was
you
bad
could then change your approach in the future. I think that's helpful. On the whole, I would say Patrick's would help society more than my dip suggests.
I say that since I've walked through the doors here of NFL Media a year ago now, I have pushed two things. One, let me do more things. And two,
and let me get home in time to feed my puppy.
No, that's
he's my best friend. He's my
on a
son.
Strict, he's on a
he's
strict
my
schedule.
Mentor.
He's on a strict schedule. Anyways, the second thing is that I have been pushing a feelings podcast for the NFL here, and I think this is the closest.
I think
we've
this,
come
is
to
the closest
this is the closest we've come to it.
Yeah,
I'm very pleased.
Dave's goal is to hurt everyone's
right.
Correct
well,
answer,
hey, feelings are feelings.
The correct answer for Dave, at least, is my keys. I need to track my keys because, as it is currently, I spend roughly 50% of my waking hours looking for them. So
that'd
be good. Where are you going, Claybon?
They're calling me down for some hits. But
for what? What can possibly be happening in July?
If you will allow me to return.
All right.
Hurry back.
All right. We'll see you in a minute. All right.
And track people's feelings along the way.
Yes. MVP. Yeah, let's just assign maybe.
Send Kent behind
maybe
him.
Ryan Bartlett
Send
or Kent
behind
Brown behind
him
the glass
to go check how he does.
Kent Brown, just record what people say about him as yeah. he
walks past.
Away.
And if they
I'll
smile,
tell you,
away.
I'll tell you what I think about him. He is one handsome man.
I agree.
He is incredibly handsome.
All right, MVP. You don't have to vigorously nod at that. That's fine.
Yeah, that was a little too vigorous.
Right. Yeah, yeah. She
oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I liked some of that.
You could say that again.
No.
That he is the accurate. Most handsome guy who works here. I've said it before, right?
I agree.
He's pretty handsome.
I'd say he's easily the most handsome.
Who's more handsome, Patrick Claybon or Handsome Hank?
Definitely Claybon.
Patrick Claybon.
Definitely Claybon.
It's fine. I don't mind. I find him more attractive than me as well. I'd rather
let's let her answer.
I know you like definitive answers. I'm going to go with Claybon.
Whoa.
I'm not. That's fine.
But is handsome's when you involve the accent, does that make him more winsome ultimately than Claybon? Ryan Bartlett, I go to you for that.
Absolutely.
Oh, so handsome wins. Congratulations.
Yeah, I like the accent.
All right. Awesome. Well, we have Harmon here. Do we want to do here? I'm going to leave it to visitor's delight. Since handsome, this is your last one, and Harmon for a little while here. Do we want to talk about the best bridesmaids? Phil Mickelson finished second again, played really well at the British Open, and yet it wasn't good enough. In sports terms, who are the best bridesmaids you can recall? In fact, now that we're talking about it, I can spit out a few of these. I know the Houston Oilers of the late 70s, they were the second best team mm-hmm. in the NFL. Unfortunately, they were in the same division with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, that was
same,
bad.
Same goes for the Baltimore Ravens in 2008.
I think you'd put Jim Kelly's Bills on that list as well.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's the spirit of it.
Because they got to the final. That's
but were they? But they were better ostensibly, I think, than the or empirically, I should say, than the Giants were that year. That they lost the first
but
Super
they
Bowl.
Lost.
That, I know, but that makes them a bad. I mean, like you were really good. Unfortunately, you just happened to not be as good as the champ. You know what I'm saying?
No, I thought a bridesmaid is not
as a,
the
for
bride.
Instance, in the National League Central 2015. Unprecedented. The three best teams by record in Major League Baseball were all in the National League Central.
Right.
The Cubs and Pirates finished behind the Cardinals. The right. three best teams in baseball, again, though, by record, were those teams. So those were the bridesmaids, the Cubs and Cardinals. I mean, Cubs and Pirates.
Yeah, I see where you're going.
It's all right, I think we've covered this subject okay. pretty well.
Good, let's move on then.
Move on.
There's nothing else to say on that one? All right, that went well. Next up, on the record, let's get to on the record here. And Matt Harmon, fantasy enthusiast, but nominally a Carolina Panthers football fan. Speaking of bridesmaids, because in 2015, did you hear what happened in the Super Bowl?
Yep.
It didn't work out.
It did not.
But they were very good all the way throughout.
They were a very good team.
Do you like – well, we'll do a little fantasy talk here. Are you excited about – do you think Kelvin Benjamin, Devin Funchess combined to make Cam – anything close to what he was statistically and from a fantasy perspective?
You know, it's just quite hard to lap the quarterback field that much in terms of fantasy scoring like he did in 2015. It's hard to do that two times in a row. I would expect some sort of statistical regression for him. You know, not that he's going to play any worse, but just from a numbers perspective, like his touchdown rate, I think, will come down. I mean, and the addition of Kelvin Benjamin is kind of interesting because he's actually a pretty polarizing figure within the fantasy community because, you know, he was peppered with targets as a rookie, mm-hmm. which I think can be a positive indicator, but he's also just not necessarily the traditional precise wide receiver one, you know? So I don't necessarily have a strong feeling about Benjamin this year. I think that some people overrate him. I think some people underrate him. I'm kind of right in the middle with him. And Funchess is an interesting guy because he's not somebody that I'm particularly high on as an individual, but as long as they don't ask too much of him, and I think they won't. I think the team has a really clear idea of what he is, which is, you know, a number three target behind Benjamin and Olsen and somebody they can move around the formation. I think he can be a playmaker more in his second year than he was as a rookie.
Hey, reception perception, no jive. It's not hyperbole to say this. It really is revolutionary stuff from an advanced metric standpoint and how it helps
you
in fantasy. So go get that. The thing that I look at with Cam at some point, I mean, he is, I say this, I talk about things I say all the time on this show. Cam Newton is superhuman in physical scale. And therefore, the things that you would apply to just about anybody else, specifically the running around and taking the hits, has to at some point slow down. I mean, it just can't do that he's not going to do that for the next 10 years of his career. And yet, I don't know if that point is 2016 yet, but at some point, he's the biggest guy on the field very often. And yet, that has to wear on him at some point. And at some point, the team is going to want to take care of him a little bit better and tell him, all right, just stay in the pocket. And when you get near the goal line, we're going fade route to Benjamin, not having you jump over the pile against Superman.
The good news is that I think he did take tremendous steps as a more nuanced passer last year. And I think that's something that they want to see. And I think we're seeing that throughout the league, really. Like Russell Wilson last year took another step in his fifth year in the NFL, you know, or fifth or fourth year in the NFL, whatever. Like these guys are taking progressive steps. Now that they're starting earlier, that next step is coming a little bit later in their career.
All right, let's jump into it. In 2016, they start things off on the record. We're doing this for as many teams as we can. We've set a nice pace for ourselves. We have a realistic shot of getting through all 32 here. We'll save the Dolphins for Handsome's return.
We did it.
Oh, no, we did it with a jibe, but it didn't go well.
Well, Dave,
we have to do it again.
Do you anticipate that having an actual player on the team
I
sit in on
my
it, they're going to be like, yeah, I think we'll lose in week four.
All right.
You learn from your mind.
Like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, and I was wrong. You don't ask a guy who's on the team how you're going to do in specific games. Obviously, they think they're going to win them all.
They have to say it. Like that's what they.
We haven't a shot against Brady.
That's the starting point for them.
You're right.
We're going to win all the games.
Let's get through it, fellas.
Okay, let's do it.
Denver Broncos at Mile High. Harmon, win or loss there?
I mean, I always want to be negative, but I'm gonna give him a win.
I like that. Do you think it's gonna be Lynch Handsome, or do you think it's gonna be Sanchez?
I think it'll be Sanchez, and I think it'll be a win for the.
What about Trevor Siemian?
Yeah, I mean that. Yeah. Is there anything more insulting?
He's a guy, but that just the fact that you suggest that tells me they're not gonna win.
A career filled with many low points, the head coach saying like, "Hey, Sanchez and Siemian are neck and neck here."
Right. That's not a good thing.
That's why
they're going to lose the game.
I agree. So win for the Panthers. Good for you.
Revenge.
Next up, they host. Wait, is that?
That's a host.
Why I can't even see at or?
I'll tell you, Dave, because your eyes are failing.
I can't see it on this piece of paper. Looks like
your eyes are failing. But as you grow older, I'm happy to be your eyes.
The Niners went in there in a playoff game a couple of years ago.
They're
going to
win.
Now it's been reversed.
They're going to beat the Niners.
49ers
2-0. Vikings.
They're going to beat the Vikings.
That's at home.
I don't.
Sorry, Dave. Dave, this game is in Carolina.
That's a good one, man. That should be a good. This will be one of the early signs. Oh, is this a NFC title game preview?
Yeah, so many people are overrating the Vikings, though.
Do you think really? So? Ross Tucker says they're going to the Super Bowl.
That's why I'm talking about so many people overrating the Vikings.
That is kind of to his point there, but I think that the Vikings are
they're
a fine team. I think if Teddy Bridgewater takes another step, they could be a really interesting squad. And I think
that's the problem.
I think people are kind of underrating him a little bit. You know, they have not asked much of him, but he is still a pretty accurate guy. And depending on the addition of Laquon Treadwell working out, I think that he could be a really dangerous player in that offense.
I think Treadwell is a guy. I mean, this is one of those things, and you see it almost every year. It's the Anquan Boldin effect. His 40 time is – well, I mean, you know, because if it was a 5.2, then it would be cause for concern. But it was not. It was a tick slower than you'd like to see. But he'll make up for it by being a super physical guy. He's got a lot of Dez Bryant to him, Michael Crabtree, boldness.
Michael Irvin
say.
Was the guy that they compared him to after he was drafted, and you know, Norv Turner back in the Cowboys days, that was his guy. So, and they've already said they're going to install similar route concepts. This goes back to Treadwell's a great point to what we were talking about earlier with combining numbers with the context of what happens on the field. You look at Treadwell's 40 time, you're like, oh, that is real concerning. But then when you watch him play, and especially you look at his reception perception results, you see like this is a guy who separates at every level of the field. He might not be that fast in a straight line, but he combines short area quickness, technique, and physical ability to be a really strong route runner. So he's a guy that I don't have any concerns with.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald,
with.
Antonio Brown, how many examples of guys?
Right.
I mean, whatever the ceiling or whatever the floor is for what your 40 time can't be, it's Laquon Treadwell isn't below it. I mean, right. It's not like he humiliated himself in terms of foot speed.
Workout numbers give you a range of outcomes. And, you know, what's the likeliest that he hits this with these workout numbers? But then that's why you watch film. You
the
look
naked
for outliers.
Eye, tell you right. That's exactly right. That's
look
exactly
for outliers.
Right. All right. So what are we saying? Win or loss at home with the mini Vikings here?
I'm saying the Vikings have to go there. They'll lose.
I'll go with Hank there.
Yeah. Whoa. 3-0 Panthers. Then
it's going to get better.
Now they go to Atlanta.
That's a win.
That's a win.
Atlanta
Cam has a habit of playing well there. 4-0. Look at this. They're now 21-2 in their last 23 ball games here.
The Buccaneers visit them.
All right.
That's a win.
I think that's a win, but I think that'll be close.
Yeah.
I like a lot about the Vikings this year. Or, I mean, the Buccaneers.
I like, you know what? Beware, everybody. You want a good fantasy pick this year? Famous Jameis Winston. All the top tier QBs are gone.
Right
famous
down there Jameis, at the back.
He's going to put.
Where am I looking for him? Round what?
I would say that he's, you know, around 13-14 guy.
Ooh.
Just because that's where quarterbacks are falling.
Yeah.
I think pretty much the world over has adopted the late round quarterback philosophy. And I think that you see a lot of these guys, unless they're the top tier, go in the double digit rounds.
Oh, Aaron Rodgers and Andrew Luck bounce back in big ways this year. If you really want
a difference maker
in terms of fantasy points, I still say what I said last year. Those two guys. I missed a year ago. This year I will be right. Mm-hmm. So now we have them at 5-0.
Out on a limb.
And they're at the Saints here?
At the Saints.
Inami played a good one last year in the Superdome, these two teams.
This is tough.
Are we going to get them to 6-0? How ridiculous are we going to get
them? I'm going to give them a loss there.
All right. Between that and the Bucs game, I agree.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so now that's they're fine. 5-1. Then
and they
go
have
on
a bye.
Their bye. Then they host or they're at.
They
or
host, Dave.
They host
I'm still your eyes. They host the Cardinals.
Handsome, how say you?
I'm going to say that's a loss.
Yeah, I'll go with loss there, too.
Revenge on their minds.
And also, coming off a bye week, sometimes everyone says, oh, well, that'll work out. And sometimes it doesn't work out.
I believe, though, in the trend that is, you know, we got to get revenge. It's a reckoning for us. Yeah, except that team whipped you.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
That they're better than you. They are the antidote for what you want to do. Is I kind of believe that. I could make some analogies that would be in a – well, anyway, point
all right.
is I will take – I would take Carolina. I will take Carolina in that one, but I'll give you guys the L on that one.
Then,
I'll give them the L there. I'll see
at
you.
The Rams.
Ooh.
Oh, it's a win.
That's a win.
Yeah, it's an easy win.
Easy win. Now the Rams are going to be crummy?
They're not crummy. They're mediocre. They're mediocre
every year.
We're talking
about a team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
You're right. Okay, Chiefs.
It says they're hosting the Chiefs.
I will give them a win for that. Although
Chiefs
I like
they're going to be good.
Well, the Chiefs are going to be good if Justin Houston's playing by then.
True.
He's a huge difference maker.
Yep. Huge. Well, D Ford though You know, that's the thing. We always talk about depth. Unsexy, but depth along the line of scrimmage, when you have capable replacements, that's what keeps the contenders afloat.
Is it keeps them afloat, but it doesn't keep them beating last year's Super Bowl team.
Fair enough.
Then they have a Thursday night game.
That's a win at home, right?
Yeah. At home.
Give them a win. They're having a nice season. They're only two losses 10 weeks in, so they're 8-2. Then they go to Oakland.
At Oakland, then at Seattle, back-to-back.
Ooh, maybe they stay out there.
Maybe they will.
Claybon's back. All right, go ahead.
Perfect. I am going to give them a win over the Raiders.
I'm going to give them one win and one loss.
Yeah. Okay,
series on the road.
Three losses now for the Panthers.
They may spend the entire month of the end of November and early December on the West Coast.
Well, you would expect that they will do that.
Raiders,
right?
Seahawks, Chargers. They might not come home. They're hosting the Chargers.
Yeah, but they will stay, I assume, for that week between Oakland.
I thought I was being more intelligent than I am.
What do you think happens when Phil Rivers and company?
Ooh, I think that Phil Rivers is going to lose.
Well, that's a homecoming of sorts for him, for what that matters. He matriculated at North Carolina State.
I think the Chargers have some friends there.
Oh yeah, when his 14 friends turn out, Phil's gonna suddenly.
That'll really be the motivation he needs. I just say the Chargers lose that game, but I will just take a quick aside. I love that offense for fantasy this year.
Really,
just love it. I think Keenan Allen's gonna have a top six season.
What about I'm trying to, what about the transition between the running backs? Do you like Gordon to take over a little bit here?
Honestly, I have no idea how to get a read on Melvin Gordon right now, because there were certainly times when you go back and carefully watch his film where you see like, oh, this is a talented back. He's not a guy that should have scored zero touchdowns.
Yeah,
I think he was a little overrated coming out of college. But now he's almost underrated after literally scoring zero touchdowns as a rookie. I think he could bounce back, but I think they're going to be a pass-first team whether they want to or not, because I don't really believe in the defense, and I just think that's where their talent is at.
Phil Rivers, for all of his talents, is one of those guys you got to keep him clean, and they have addressed that offensive line now. So, yeah, fascinating division, that AFC West this year. A trip to our nation's capital awaits them on December 19th. How say you, Claybon? Panthers? Panthers win that one. All right, they're rolling. They now have only three losses as they enter the home stretch here. December 24th, Christmas Eve, Matt Harmon will have his fingers
simply
in his ears.
Having a wonderful Christmas time.
And will they have a wonderful, will Cam have a wonderful Christmas Eve hosting the Atlanta Falcons?
It's against my code of honor to make any terrible holiday puns when doing my football analysis, so I will just simply say they shall win.
What might it have been? The mind reels.
Santa might deliver them a win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to name any names, but certain fantasy analysts here go a little overboard with their Christmas writing in their columns during that time of year.
Give us a word that rhymes with who you're talking about.
No.
Like, for example, Gabbiano.
I'll leave this to Hank. This is in his wheelhouse.
The heat emanating from the podcast studio.
And then,
no shade.
In the calendar year 2017, the first day, and as a matter of fact, they travel to the Tampa St. Pete area.
With Derek Anderson as their starting quarterback.
Is that right?
Well, because it's...
Because they've wrapped up...
They wrapped up their NFC South championship.
I love it. That kind of foresight. Jameis is looking to build towards next year.
And
maybe
the Bucks get a win to get to 8-8 on the season.
Are they scrapping for a wild card spot?
They're going for 8-8.
And that's enough to have Jameis perform well and earn a victory there?
Yes.
That's a loss for
that's
them.
A loss. But it's a loss that doesn't
It matter. Was interesting that they did not rest starters that much less in the final game of last year, so maybe that's not something that they do, but I'm okay with
that.
Yeah, clearly didn't work out, I guess. But, yeah, I'll give them a loss.
And so 12-4 to the defending NFC champions. Congratulations.
Doesn't seem outrageous.
No.
No. There wasn't really anything in there where,
I feel like, I don't think the Falcons are ready to roll under Dan Quinn just yet. I don't think they're going to be a
boring team.
Very you think boring, so?
Very boring team. What excites you about the Falcons other than Julio Jones?
Well, two is, puts a cap on how enthused you can be about that team. You know, he's not exactly a dynamic persona.
Exactly.
MVP, you want us to wrap it up here? You sure? Why?
I can see Daniel Jeremiah back there.
Jeremiah's back there.
He's prepping for his philosophy podcast.
You know what he does? You know what Jeremiah does? If you cross him like, "Oh, I'm a nice guy. Oh, I'm just a lucky guy." Please.
Says Dave, crossing him.
I'm a QB. I'm a QB at App State. Now here I am talking ball. I can't believe how lucky I am. Like, "Oh, wait. Damashek's podcast is cutting into my time. Get me Roger on the phone right now." Roger, I told you a year and a half ago that I would let it go one time, but this goes too far. Who does this Damashek think he is?
He's pretty angry back here.
I can see it. All right, we better get out. I don't want any more trouble here. I was gonna do the surprise game show, but we don't have time for that, right?
We'll save it, yeah.
All right.
What else
were we going to talk about, though? Oh, we got to get Harmon back in because he was going to give us some must-owns. In fact, go and read his column at NFL.com and find the fantasy tab there. That's where Harmon has labeled for you his must-owns.
Yes, 2016. At the wide receiver position.
At wide receiver.
Yeah, the other really cats enough. Did quarterback, running backs, and tight ends.
I think we're all familiar nobody with cares what position about, nobody you cares play about in fantasy. We're not morons, Harmon.
Well, I know you guys aren't, you know.
Who should I get linebacker in my – I mean, we understand what happens.
There are psychopaths that play in
I know, that's
IDP.
Weird. That goes yeah, too
it's,
far.
It's a little – I can't
yeah, too much.
No.
And the next time we talk with you, Harmon, we got to figure out this snake draft versus auction.
Ooh, agreed.
I say auction is fantasy for grown-ups. That's what I say.
Mm-hmm. Well,
snake is amateur hour.
Sure. I know. That should be a good discussion, especially now that we're periscoping all of our mock drafts. I'm excited for the auction one. That could get pretty heated.
All right, there he is, shilling for his stuff. It's Matt Harmon, Reception Perception. Follow him on Twitter. Patrick Claibon, I know you're excited. Maybe even more than I am. College football's almost here. That kicks off before pro football. Can't wait.
No, it's good. We get to – people say some good things. People, of course, say dumb things about college football as well.
Yes. The arm takes, man. That's your take on college football season starting? Is that you're already cross with the opinions of other people that haven't been issued yet?
I just wanted to hear you say arm takes, man. It just makes me happy.
That's why you brought it in. You and your friend Chris Wessling evaluating the quality of other people's opinions all the time. Yeah. That's what they do. That's what they do with themselves.
I like it.
Says Dave Damashek.
That's right. That's exactly right. There's only room for one in Studio 60.
It's like the Highlander.
Given time. Yeah, that's right. Here we go again.
Yeah, they're trying to get
Ryan
us out
Bartlett,
of here.
Ryan Bartlett, Emma VP, play the music. Doesn't mean anything's going to happen. Go ahead. Play
as loud as you can. Turn it up.
Almost done. Done. All right, now that that's out of my ear, now we can keep going with our conversation. Handsome Hank, travel safe in the UK.
Oh,
have a great time with the family over there. And most importantly, bring us back some tender vittles, would you?
I'll bring some, I'll choose some things that you'd each like.
Some chocolates!
Yes.
I want some of those, some exciting crisp
flavors. I bring
flavors.
Black tie some Maltesers.
Oh, speaking of black tie, that's the next thing we address. That's what we address on the next show. The Black Tie second annual film festival. Black Tie, who has seen 7 movies in his lifetime. We have to select what movies, what classics he has to see. All right, now start the music to wrap it up here. We'll let Daniel Jeremiah take over what he calls it his studio. Can I get my studio already? Here, look, he's waving a finger at me. I better go before I get in real heat. All right, thin slice of heaven.